Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to another episode of the PRF Table. For those who have never been here before, PRF stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. And this is one of your hosts of the PRF Table. My name is Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap, and also sitting here at the table is one of our other hosts. Her name is Mary Ann Williams. But around here at the table, we call her Mama. Mama, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, and good evening to my PRF family. Very excited that you are here to share in this conversation. Amen.
All right. Well, listen, if you were with us last week, you know we started off last week, or that's just how God led things, for us to really just deal with matters of socioeconomic justice versus injustice, socioeconomic justice versus injustice. And what we were dealing with that title is, you know, what are the social issues of today? What's going on in society, and how does those issues affect economics, and how does the world of economics affect society? And with that, are there issues of justice that are going on? Are there issues of injustice? And what do we do as a Christian community? What do we do as God's believers when there's some socioeconomic injustice going on? What do we do when we know that there's some justice that's needed, but there's some people that are around us that are not ready for the fight for whatever reason, but we know that there's some things going on that just has to stop, that they're just against God's word, or we know that God is not pleased in certain type of actions or behaviors. And so how do we respond? So we hope that tonight we'll get some participation from you who are listening right now, and those who come on a little bit later, Mama, just to share what's going on and what you feel about some of the things that's going on. Because here's what we found after being on the air all these years. We found out that if people don't talk about things, then oftentimes things just continue to fester. And what happens when things continue to fester is you start to see people act in a certain way, or I won't say act. React. That's the better word to say, Mama. They react in a certain way that people who may be a little bit calmer, or people that are away from a certain situation, or people that just like to ignore it and stick their head in the sand, that they say, they're overreacting. Well, how the heck am I supposed to react? And I think I'm going to start off tonight's show with that same clip that we had from that gentleman last week about, singing my way in. That's what it was called. And it's part of a video or an interview that was done with this individual. And this was done back in, if I'm not mistaken, 1994. And I'm going to play it again because I want people to understand and to hear that these issues, these socioeconomic issues and the socioeconomic injustices that we have today, they just didn't start today. These socioeconomic injustices, I can promise you, did not start with President Obama, for some of you Obama haters. I mean, it just didn't happen. It didn't start with 9/11 after 9/11 happened for some of you Bush haters. It just didn't. Certain things become systematic and systemic. And when they're systematic and systemic, we can't solve them just by sitting quiet. And what happens is when people start getting fed up, when people, let me just play this clip because I'm going to just be quiet. Let me just play this
logical. If I know that in this hotel room they have food every day and I'm knocking on the door every day to eat, and they open the door. Let me see the party. Let me see like them throwing salami all over the. I mean, just like throwing food around. Where they're telling me there's no food in here. You know what I'm saying? Every day, I'm standing outside trying to sing my way in. You know what I'm saying? We are hungry, please let us in. We are hungry, please let us in. After about a week, that song is going to change to we hungry, we need some food. After 2-3 weeks, it's like, you know, give me all the food, we're breaking out the door. And after years, you just like, you know what I'm saying, I'm picking the lock, coming through the door blasting, you know what I'm saying? It's like you hungry, you reach your level, you don't want any more. We asked 10 years ago. We was asking with the Panthers. We was asking with them, you know, with the Civil Rights Movement. We was asking, you know, now those people that were asking, they're all dead and in jail. So now what do you think we're going to do?
Mama, I think you are one that can understand this. This was back in the 90s.
Yes.
That was a young generation. That brother was young in the 90s, 94. And so I think about your generation, which came after my generation, right? And there were some challenges, some socioeconomic challenges that y'all had that I didn't have. I can think particularly about Vietnam, when folks like my father and others, and Rock and others come back from Vietnam, everybody didn't come back to all of these nice benefits that a lot of our men and women in uniform have today, because they're being, these things are being fought for and things have been put in place. But back then, so that created some vacuums in certain locations, certain communities, because they're not jobs. Listen, when you come back, when somebody comes back and people are not kind of right in the mind because of certain things that happen, I mean, it's happening in today's society. That has an economic effect on society. Because what do you tell the person that has gone and served their country, for example, and then they come back, and things are not the way it used to be, but people don't want to hire them? How does that person, man, woman, who, you know, how do they take care of their family? How do they contribute to society in an impactful way? Stuff is rough.
Yeah.
And so that becomes, and I'll, if you can comment, if you have anything to comment, but I think about somebody coming home in the 70s, 60s and 70s, and in that situation in certain communities and certain structures are gone because so many people got drafted. And then what do they teach? What does the one who can't get a job, can't keep a job, what do they teach about PRF to their children? And so therefore, what do I teach? What the heck do I know? All I see is struggle. So if all I see is struggle for my parents, what do I teach? It's easy to say you're going to be better than that, but you got to be careful about saying that because you don't want to make it seem like mommy and daddy just was bad parents. So there has to be some examples. So tell us, if you will, Mama, how were some things difficult when it comes to what we're talking about, this, you know, the social and the economic, at any period of your history that you can think about where it could have been systemic. It could have been some things that were embedded. It could have been, you know, some community that was outside of your immediate community, but you had relatives. What were some of the things? Because people need to have a good understanding, sometimes hear a broad understanding of what some of the socioeconomic issues are to understand that there's injustice there.
Well, I remember when I worked for, you know, for Bell Telephone. Also worked for AT&T. I also worked for Electronic Data Systems. And starting back with Bell, just before Bell was not hiring any African Americans. There was a period there, and they had, what I'm trying to say. They marched about it, so to speak. And so later on, I was able, you know, to go there and get a job. And then I remember that, you know, you could feel the tension because it was something new. You know, when you the only, you know, I want to say this very tactfully and not offend anyone. Okay, I'm just going to say this. When I went to another company to work, and I could tell when I walked in there that, you know, and it was, you know, a white company, and, you know, they just looked so strange at me, you know. And I knew and I could tell that I was not going to be hired, but I was treated nicely. And I really needed that job, you know. And it makes you feel like, you know, we can't help the color that we are. And when you are qualified and you know you're qualified, but you know it's because of your race why you're not getting a job, you just do not know what to do. You don't know what to do. You know, and that's rejection. And like you said, it's a struggle. It's really a struggle, you know. So, you know, as any maid taught me, you're going to get your education, you're going to speak English because when you want to, in other words, she's preparing me for what's going to be ahead of me. And, you know, you say yes, sir, you say no, ma'am, you know, you sit with your ankles crossed, you know, it's the way you shake your hand, you know, as a lady to a man. I mean, you know, she prepared me for all of that. And then so I'm feeling I'm very well equipped, according to some of my friends. But it didn't make a difference because we all ended up in the same situation. So, you know, and at this time I didn't know to pray because, you know, that's what, you know, if you explain to someone, you know, that's okay, if you're a Christian, you know, we're going to pray and believe God. So at that time I hadn't given my life to the Lord, so I didn't know about it. I didn't think about praying or anything. I was just upset. So I'm thinking about the man, and I'm bringing it around to where we are right now. I'm thinking to the man who comes home from Vietnam, or the men who come out of jail or whatever, trying to find a job and wanting to take care of their families, wanting to do the right thing and really sincerely sorry about what they have done, and they have paid their dues. And now they already have in a different mindset because in Vietnam, I was told some things that would happen. And you know, people just, you know, and you're talking about young people, 18 years old over there, you know what I'm saying, you know, really just killing people. And they held a gun in their lives, but now they're in that situation. So when they come home, their mind is not where their thoughts patterns and not where it need to be because they have to adjust. And they come here, and now they can't get a job either. And as a young man said on the tape, you know, I have a family. I need to feed my family. And he keeps knocking on doors. He goes to work. He gets up in the morning, you know what I'm saying? They're there when the door's open, you know. They know how to dress. They have everything going on. And day after day after day, they still cannot feed their family. And so it does result sometimes into people doing what they don't need to be doing to survive. And when it comes to feeding the family, people will do whatever they have to do. And it's not about whether I agree with it or not. Right is wrong is wrong. But in their mindset, the way they think, is that my baby needs something to eat. I'm doing all I can do. You know, so it's, and to me, that's an, that's really an injustice. I put that in the category of being injustice.
Interesting. You know, one of the things that you said that was kind of interesting for me was when you, you spoke about the thought patterns and also about adjusting. And I'll go, because again, I didn't live, I mean, I was born, but, you know, I didn't live it and see everything. But I have lived and seen so much through the wars that we have been involved in. And of course, me being over there and coming back, and others going and coming back, and the thought patterns that people have. You know, I was involved in something today, or maybe it was yesterday, with an individual, and person was sharing with me how their husband was just really not, was not having the right thought patterns after coming back from deployment overseas, and the marriage is no longer, the marriage has been severed. I can say that. There's a child involved, or I think two children, a child, one or two children involved. Yeah, about two children that's involved. The adjusting that this service member went through was rough. And here's what, the reason that I brought up that, in light of, you know, what you were giving us on regarding, you know, Vietnam, the Vietnam era, if you will, was because as we deal with the socioeconomic component to this,
yes,
there's some similarities. There's some similarities when people's thought patterns are what they are because they've only been taught a certain thing. It's amazing the thought patterns that people have regarding matters of PRF in the church.
Yes.
Had a conversation. I was at the state radio station, at, you know, the 4 o'clock show, and had a conversation with somebody after the show, and he was talking. We were talking about tithing, or they were talking about tithing, and it's just amazing that people have various thought patterns about certain things, but you have to be willing to say, well, where did you get that from? And it's not about attacking anybody, right? I've said it before, one of my former professors in my doctoral program, Carlos Cardoza, he said, you can only know new only learn new things from what you already know. Meaning, whatever you have already learned, you're going to take what you've already learned, and that's going to help you to apply that new thing that you already, that you don't have. Everything that we've been taught, a lot of things that people have been taught in the church about these various matters of PRF, nobody here at the PRF table, nobody here is saying that you're wrong.
Right.
Because you've learned it.
Right.
That doesn't mean that that is the extent of knowledge. I mean, let's be real with this thing. Mankind went in the wrong direction because of knowledge.
Yeah.
If you go back to Genesis. It was something about knowledge that turned all this stuff upside down.
Right.
Turned upside down.
And may I interject that it says, you know, in the book of Proverbs, he says, first thing he says, when talking in that context, is get knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's three things, knowledge, wisdom, but above all, get understanding. But if you do not have the your facts, because knowledge means I'm going to learn about this because I really don't know about this particular subject. And so, you know, you do your research and now you have your facts. So now that you have your facts, then you ask God to help you to understand how to apply this in your life, or you can ask others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can come on the show and you know, and get involved and sit at the PRF table with us and voice your opinion and ask your questions. And then he says, get understanding. So if you don't have your facts, then you're not going to have understanding of whatever this, that particular subject is about. all being discussed. You need to know, you need to have, we need to have some understanding. But, you know, I don't know, I couldn't be a surgeon. I don't have any understanding, you know, of it. I know about it. But I'm not a surgeon. You know, put me in administration. I know administrative things. But I don't know medical things that I would need to know to be a doctor at this point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process, you know. Just because I, you know, read books and go on the internet and find stuff, no, and that you have to go to school, and you have to be willing. I would have to be willing to be taught, and I would have to have patience with myself. And I need to ask questions about what I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. There's some adjusting, Mama, that I just truly believe in my heart that has to occur.
Yes.
In a lot of these areas of PRF. And it's not a bad thing. What I look at it is, it's opportunity. It's opportunities for people to be in a better place than where they are right now. And see, being in a better place, I mean, we got to be put things in perspective, and we got to operate with the level of faith that we have. See, for me, I may be able to advance 3 steps, where you may only be able to advance 2 steps.
Right.
And somebody else may only be able to advance 1 step. Well, here's what we do. If you celebrate my 3 steps, even though you're only able to take 2 steps, and the person that's only able to take 1 step celebrates you who got 2 and I who got 1, and I celebrate you who got 2 and the other person who got 1, then we're all celebrating together. So there can't be this no animosity when one person is getting farther than the other person.
Right.
But in that, there should be something inherently involved in our relationship where, as I'm able to take 3, I encourage you who just took 2.
Yeah.
You may have been taking 2 steps in this particular area of PRF for the last 12 years of your life.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that in year 13, you won't be able to take 3. But we have to get to, why have you only been able to do 12 steps or 2 steps over these 12 years? Maybe there's not been anybody to push you and say, okay, I know you can make 3. I know you can go 3 steps. I know you can. Maybe you've never heard that.
Right, right.
Maybe the teaching is, no, we're always going higher, but the teaching really stops where you're only equipped enough to go to 2 steps versus 3.
Right.
And so you're constantly striving for the 3rd step, but you don't have the tools to get to that 3rd step.
Right.
So we have to just, we really have to be willing to do a couple of things different. And that really comes from exploring, why am I at the situation or the place that I'm at? And to go back to the audio clip that we listened to, and it's a longer video. I just gave y'all about, you know, a minute, half or 2 minutes. But I listened to it. I mean, because it's so profound. We are hungry. Please let us in.
Yes.
We are hungry. Please let us in. What that says to me is this. I'm telling you that we are hungry. But it may only be one person saying we are hungry. So I got everybody else that's here, but it may only be one person to speak up, to say we are hungry. Speaking up for the group. I preached a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago. Where is that one person among the group that's going to stand up? But it could have also meant that they could have been so unified, those who are hungry, to be able to say, we are hungry. So they could have all been chanting, we are hungry, please let us in. We are hungry, please let us in. What that says to me is, if you are willing to come together, your voice can be heard a whole lot louder than when there's only one person.
Right.
See, if, again, I want people to visualize what you heard. You heard a person that said, that was knocking on the door. It doesn't mean that everybody on the inside heard what was happening on the outside.
Right.
They could have been in that room for so long, having that good old time, for so long.
Yeah.
Where they're just totally oblivious to what's going on the outside. So the people who were hungry, they could have come at a later period of time. So maybe they missed out on what was going on in the room. How about this? Maybe they never got an invitation because of who they were.
Right.
Maybe the people inside of the room were people who are considered to be elite. Maybe there were some people that shucked and jived and weaseled them way their way inside of the room.
Yes.
Everybody inside of the room, again, listening to that video, to that audio clip, everybody in the room, that doesn't mean that everybody had the right to be inside of the room. Maybe some people inside of that room were in that room because I have the ability to be in that room and to get you in because there's something I want from you.
Yes.
Maybe I want you in there to further oppress the people who don't have the means to be inside of the room. These are the type of socioeconomic inquiries that have to be made if we really want to deal with some of these things of justice versus injustice. Notice also the tone. As a matter of fact, again, I don't want this to be about my voice, so I'm going to play it again.
Logical. You know, if I know that in this hotel room they have food every day and I'm knocking on the door every day to eat, and they open the door, let me see the party, let me see like them throwing salami all over the, I mean, just like throwing food around, but they're telling me there's no food in here. You know what I'm saying? Every day, I'm standing outside trying to sing my way in. You know what I'm saying? We are hungry, please let us in. We are hungry, please let us in. After about a week, that song is going to change to, we hungry, we need some food. After 2-3 weeks, it's like, you know, give me all the food, we're breaking out the door. And after a year, then you just like, you know what I'm saying? I'm picking the lock, coming through the door, blasting, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you hungry, you reached your level, you don't want any more. We asked 10 years ago. We was asking with the Panthers. We was asking with them, you know, with civil rights movement. We was asking, you know, now those people that were asking, they're all dead and in jail. So now what do you think we're going to do? Ask?
Mama.
Yes.
We hungry, please let us in. You notice that he said, they let me see.
They let me see
what's going on inside of there. Don't you know how many people in this country are just able to watch folks just do certain things?
Yes.
And they're like, hold on. See, we can't come to church. No, I'm going to say we. Folks come to church every Sunday and get in here that God is no respecter of persons. That's what they hear.
Yes.
But what did you just hear? You heard from somebody who just said, not God is no respecter of persons, but man is a respecter of persons.
Right.
Because there was evidently a divide. If you can just go and just let people see what's going on, but for whatever reason, y'all can't be a part of this. What do you expect? And then here's what adds insult to injury. Now see, if I go to work every day and I earn a paycheck at the end of my shift every week, right? My work week.
Yes.
And I'm on time every day and I get a promotion after 2 years and I get a bonus at the end of during the Christmas holiday because that's the type of company that I happen to work for, right?
Yes.
But you only work part-time. There's an understanding that I may have some things that you may not have.
Right.
That may happen. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about people that are in need. And it's a very insulting thing when you working 40 hours a week, Mama, and I'm working 40 hours a week. Matter of fact, I'm working 50 and 60 because I got a full-time job, and when you go home with your children, I'm going to work my second job.
Yes.
But yet I can still never take a vacation. But yet I got to listen to you. Yeah, I went to the Bahamas. We went to the Bahamas on this cruise. And I'm like, sometimes it only takes a question. Man, how do you do it? How do you manage your money, man? Because we work at the same job. We're making the same $11 an hour. That person may tell you, there's some things that I do. Like I invest in a 401k. You invest in a 401k? Man, I need all my money. That goes back to the thought patterns.
Yes.
Maybe that person doesn't see the value in saving. If you allow yourself, a person allows themselves not to invest in their retirement plans that the companies that they work for offer, especially when they have a match, whether it's 1%, 2%, 5%, especially, that's free money being given away, especially. That may be something wrong, something that needs to be adjusted with that thought process, that thought pattern. And I'll say this, Mama, to tell me that there's nothing there, oh, let's go here. I get to see through the glass window, but you're telling me to my face, so that lets me know how much you value me.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be real with me about what's going on, even though my eyes are not deceiving me. My eyes say, y'all got it so good that y'all can just waste money, waste food, and the people are hungry on the outside.
Yes.
I don't know if you've caught it as of yet, but that is so similar to the church.
Yes.
We got folk that want to be inside a church. They want to be inside a church because people inside the church tell folk, like we heard, I think I heard this the other night at the service, a unity service. I don't know where it was, wherever I was at. We're supposed to be a hospital. This is where people come for healing. Well, the question then becomes, when was the last time somebody received financial healing at your church? I ain't talking about just giving them some money and getting them out of a tight spot. I'm talking about financial healing like we talk about here on the PRF table, where there's a process going on, where we're doing some teaching. When is the last time that has happened? When is the last time the church has offered something, your church has offered something dealing with possession, resources, and finances to the community and say, look, you don't have to come in here. We don't have no agenda. We don't have no agenda. We just want people in the community to be able to get this information and do better. You don't have to be from our church. You ain't got to be within our denomination. You ain't even got to be our religion. But we want to offer this to the community so that the community can be better. And then maybe there will be an opportunity where somebody may say, you know what, this Jesus thing really ain't all that bad. I really had a different mindset about what it was. Well, you know what, maybe I'll understand things a little bit better.
I was going to say people are looking. People here have heard so much, you know, about you know, coming to church and you know, and you come to church and you know, God's going to just do this for you and God will do that for you because let me share with you what God did for me. And they do come to, they do take up the invitation. And they come to the church, but they don't. They see it different. They see it different than the way it was portrayed. They see it differently. The way it was portrayed. You come to church, and your life's just going to be a bowl. You know, everything's going to be okay. You know. But they didn't explain the process that they had to go through to be where they are. And how God will, yes, God will help you, but there's going to be some trials and tribulations along the way. But it's better to have him on your side and explain. But I never heard it that way. I heard you come to church, you know, first you don't want to go to hell, so you need to go. So right then, you know, they don't really care one way or another, especially if they're hungry, about any of the eternal life. But, you know, we are not, like you say, folks do portray the glamorous part of what can I say, of salvation. And when they come into the church, as I did, and when I got saved, I just could not believe because of what I had heard. And it just was just so nice. So I said, wow, my life's just going to be, oh, my goodness. Oh, I know is something better than this. So I go down to the aisle, and I sincerely give my heart to the Lord. And I knew it was something, I knew it was real because it was things that I used to do. I just did not want to do anymore. And I knew it had to be God because I know me. And I know what I like to do, what makes me happy. So I know that's real. But then when you start dealing with the people and you see things and you're saying, wow, I didn't deal with this. I remember saying that. I didn't go through none of this while I was in the world. And so, and people are seeing this over and over and over again. So it's to the point now that the people that do not know about Jesus, and they're not proclaiming Jesus, but we are proclaiming him as our Lord and personal Savior. And they see our behavior, you know, the Bible says faith without works are dead, and God is love. And so when you love, that means, you know, you're not selfish. It's not about my agenda. It's about, wow, you know, I have some knowledge here now, and I didn't have this knowledge before, and now I'm not selfish anymore, so I'm going to help. I'm going to see what I can do to help this, my coworker here. I'll talk to her. But they, and when they, and then when you, when the, when they do go talk to the coworker, they're not asking about their needs, but they know they have a need. They know that you know, something's going on there, but they talk to them about how they need Jesus. But they haven't established a relationship with this person. You know, you have to have, you know, you have to let the person know I care about you, not trying to get you, you know, to pack a pew. You know, I have this service going to pack a pew to Sunday, so now I'm trying to get all the people in to pack a pew. No, hey, like you said, it's not about my denomination, nothing. You know, it's just about, you know, it seems as though you have something on your mind. You know, if you want to talk to me, hey, you can talk to me. I won't spread your business. And just those words may comfort that person. But when they don't see, when people see negativeness from us that are proclaiming Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior, and how good God is, and then but our actions and behavior is dictating something different, they say, well, I'm okay where I am because I don't do what they do. I didn't do what, you know, he or she. My goodness, you know. So you know, it boils down to how much I care. And am I coming from a point of caring about this person? Or is it that she may have her problems, but I can see something that she can do to help me? So if that's my motive, the person's really, you know, not going to really be blessed by me. Because I'm constantly searching and trying to find a way to get something that I want from her. And so it's going to be about me. It's not going to be about her. It's going to be about me. And as the word says, in you come out of you. So it's not going to come out of me, you know, whether she's having, you know, she can talk to me or whatnot, you know. not going to be about that. It's going to be now. I have to figure out, you know, I got to figure out how I can get to where, she, you know, get what she has. Because people do, you know, when people, all of us have gifts, and we are talented. And so the person can draw beautiful pictures. And so she may dabble as she's doing her work, you know, just devil. And then, oh, I want her to do a picture for me. And that can just be the only motive. Only motive. So the behavior is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And we want people to trust us that we are about what we say we are about. Amen.
There is a scripture. I'm not going to quote it. I can't recall exactly where it is, but if you want to, it says something to the effect about if you want to be a friend, show yourself friendly.
Yes.
That's an important. That came to mind as you were talking. You know, it is all about the relationships, and we have to have a desire. I'm not going to say we have to. I just say we have to have a desire to be friendly. We have to have a desire. We have to have something that's going to drive us to being in relationship with one another, so that we can help in these matters that we talk about so much, especially on this show. The second thing he said was, we hungry. We need some food. Open the door. If you understand what you just heard, then you understand that there was a humility that came from asking, a humbleness that came with asking. But the next thing that wound up coming out of the mouths was, we're hungry. We are hungry. We need some food. Open the door. Now, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you that this is what you need to do to be able to level this playing field.
Yeah.
Because the playing field is not as level as it needs to be. If I'm asking you, if I come to you in a place of humility and submissiveness to say that I'm hungry, and I'm standing up for my people, whoever my people are. It didn't say it was a black or white thing. It just said whoever was in the room and whoever was outside of the room.
Right.
Right? That's all it said. It didn't say nothing about color. It said those inside the room and those outside of the room. And the reality that we know is that there are people of the same color in the room as the same color on the outside of the room. Let's not get it twisted to think that there's just one race of people that's always inside the room, because I know a whole bunch of folks that's on the outside of that same race, even if they're supporting stuff that doesn't, that doesn't help their situation being on the outside. So the color of person's skin does not dictate their financial position. It may have a play in it because we live in a society that we have a lot of things that are systemic that haven't been dealt with and that still continue today. I mean, if you stole my land from me hundreds of years ago, then that's going to have an effect on, or for my ancestors, that's going to have an effect on me today. Because for those who didn't get their land stolen from them, they were able to let that be part of their inheritance. Mm-hmm. And so hundreds of years, there's a reason why some folk are not struggling. On the same token, some folk that decide to do certain things with their possessions, resources, and finances have put themselves in a better position than some other folks who chose not to do some of the same things if they had the equal access and the equal resources or similar resources to be able to do so. So it hits both sides of that fence.
Yeah.
But when going back to the clip, when the brother says, open the door, I'm telling you what you need to do. I've already asked. In being humble and being in a place of humility and submissiveness, that didn't work for them on the inside because there wasn't value for the other. That's what it was. there wasn't value from the other, about the other. And if there's no value in what that other person looked like, then you can't say that you love them.
Right.
If you do, then you're telling the lie and the truth ain't in you, right? So,
right.
And then I love how on the next part, and I think we're going to be about to be done. Give me some food or I'm coming down, busting down the doors. Now, look, I done came to you submissively. I done asked. I done stood up. I done tried to stand up for the people that's out here as well. Now, I'm telling you that we hungry and we need some, so go ahead and open the door. Because, see, we're hungry. And, see, and see, here's one of the things about people coming to get help from the church. You can tell somebody all day long, just come to church.
Yes.
But if a person is hungry and they come through those doors and you don't meet that need of the hunger, that's not biblical.
Yes.
Because they're hungry. You can't expect somebody to live off of only spiritual food.
Yes.
And not live off of physical food as well. God created these bodies. So since he created these bodies need physical things.
Right.
But that third line was, either you give it to me or we come busting down the doors to come get it. Not to harm anybody, but we're not going to sit out here forever watching you just do whatever you want to do with those resources while we're sitting out here hungry. And the fact that you lied, said y'all ain't got nothing on the inside, and you being vindictive about it and letting me see it, then you're going to lie to my face.
Yes.
And be the same person going to church on Sunday talking about we love all God's people. But the last thing, Mama, again,
yes,
still talking about socioeconomic justice, injustice versus justice. Picking the lock. See, now I'm not going to knock on the door. You know, the Bible says ask, seek, and knock. They done Matthew 7 and 7, 8 already. A lot of times. They knocking. But now we're not even going to knock. We're just going to go pick the lock. We're going to, what that says to me is, now you have placed me or you have pushed me to a point by ignoring me that now I'm going to take some matters into my own hands. I will say that the best thing for them to do when they say, give me some food or we're going to come busting down the door, they ain't say we're going to come hurting anybody, but we're just going to come down busting down the door. And I can imagine in my own mind that when they came through the door, that the thing that they would have been coming for would have been the food because they were hungry.
Right.
But now in this last one, I'm picking the door, picking the lock, coming in the door, blasting. Now I'm coming in, and now it's not just about the hunger. There's anger there. And there's rage there. And you cannot ignore in today's society the socioeconomic impacts of things like this going on as if they're not existing. There has to be something that has gone, I won't say wrong, but something had to go on in somebody's mind to even have that mindset, I'm coming in, picking the lock, coming in the door, blast. Not picking the lock, coming in the door, snatching the food up out of here. But see, now it becomes more personal. It becomes more personal because, see, I tried to let it go way in the beginning when y'all throwing salami all on the wall saying y'all ain't got no food up in here. And then I'm still knocking in, and you still, now you ain't even opening the door. You just ignoring me. And now I'm giving warning, look, we can't stay like this. We can't stay in this position. And then it becomes violent. And a lot of times, Mama, and we keep seeing these instances around our country, and if we don't think that the pattern that we just talked about, that we heard on this clip and how we kind of broke it down a little bit, we cannot believe, we just can't believe, and I pray that people just don't try to take this as if it doesn't matter. Yes. See, go ask somebody in Charlotte who was out there on day two of the protest. Why are you out here? You're not going to hear, we are hungry, please let me in. We are hungry, please let me in. what you're probably going to hear is a pick of the lock come in the door blasting because they done got to that point.
Right.
They done got to that point. And I'm not advocating violence. I'm saying, look, don't be idiots. People, especially the believers, us, let's not be idiots and think that in the matters of possession, resources, and finances, where there's socioeconomic injustice, where there's structural racism and all these other isms that divide people, that people are not at a place of buildup, if you will, on certain areas. So if we understand that people are, and this is what I hope people get, I hope people get that there are people in our communities, in our church, that are fed up. Some may be at level 2, some may be at level 3, and some just need a reason to be at level 4. How about we stand up as the believers and not give them a reason to be at level 4? Because when a person gets at level 4, then there's fallout from that.
Right.
There's fallout from that, which also creates a social economic impact.
Right.
Talked about it last week, right?
Yes.
How many? See, I don't hear right now about how many people couldn't get to work because of last week. Again, if you lived in Charlotte, for example, you may know if you were in certain circles what businesses said, you know what, I'm not coming there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
See, you may not hear that. So it's up to us to say, let's be proactive. Let's check and see where people are at in the matters of possession, resources, and finances. Or just contact us, prfministry.org, 267-437-7999. Maybe that's what needs to happen. Contact us on Facebook, facebook.com/PRF. We are here to help folks, Mama. That's it.
Yes.
And we do not want to see... I mean, I could just imagine they calling us in up in Charlotte. We're built for the task. We know God, Christ, you know, we know the Spirit would go before us. But here's what I'm saying. Let's not let it have to be a bunch of being reactive to situations.
Yeah.
Let us be proactive. Here's what I said on the radio. I said, I really believe that God is speaking in this season, saying, y'all got to November 8th. I really need y'all to get prepared on some stuff.
Yes.
Because here's what I said. Probably about 10 o'clock at night on November 8th, you're going to have some angry folk. And those angry folk are not going to take the word of the Lord where the word of God says, be angry, but sin not.
Not, right.
So a lot of people I'm picking the lock, coming in the door blasting. A lot of their anger will turn to sin.
Yes.
And people will try to hurt other people. I'm not saying from a physical violence perspective, but from some systemic type of things, from some structural type of things, from some just saying hurtful things to folks because folk going to be so mad and angry and pissed off because their man or their woman didn't win, as if they're God. Please.
Yes.
I promise you I won't be waiting up for that. Matter of fact, my wife will tell you, in the 2008 election, I was in the bed. Wake me up when he wins. If you don't, I'll wake up in the morning and find out he didn't win. Whoever. I mean, that's what it was. I heard all this cheering and all this stuff going on in the front part of the house. I'm like, okay, so my eyes opened up. Oh, whoa, it's on. Uh-oh. Look like we got to change. Something's about to happen. That ain't never happened before in this country. But I'm not going to – I can't put all the energy into it. I just can't. I don't think that's what God wants us to do. What I think and really believe that what God wants us to do is to get as prepared as we can to be able to help folks to start loving each other in the midst of their – I'm at the number level number one, level number two, level number three. Those same people who are homeless or unsheltered on November 7th, are probably going to be unsheltered on November 8th. And on the morning of November 9th, they will still be. So how do we come together as a community? How do we come together as churches? How do we come together as believers? And say, you know what? Who won really doesn't matter. We got folk around me that's homeless.
Yes.
You got folks, listen, you got folks that work and are homeless, have vehicles and are homeless. So it ain't everybody laying up under the bridge. This was probably, I don't know, a couple of months ago, and I had to do some stuff in Atlanta, Georgia. I come from the airport, and I get to the hotel, and it was late, probably about 11, 12 o'clock at night when I got there. And I saw this dude sitting in this car, and it was a chick in the car, too, in the passenger seat. And I ain't think anything of it, you know. I was like, okay, you know, they're just sitting in the car, and, you know, maybe came to visit or whatever. I don't know. And so I took my stuff upstairs, and I said, okay, there's a restaurant across the street. Let me go grab me something to eat because, you know, again, I was hungry. And then I come back, and, you know, they're kind of sitting there, but they're kind of laid back in the seat. You know, the seats are kind of reclined a little bit back. And then it hit me. What's going on? When I woke up in the morning, they were still in the car. They slept in their car in the parking lot of the hotel because more than likely if you did it at a restaurant, then people when they left, but at a hotel, it's not uncommon for cars to be there.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And I was like, man, I wish, you know, if I had another day, you know, and I think I went and I did something, you know, early in the morning. I may have went and got something to eat at the, you know, whatever, but then they were gone. And I was like, how interesting is that? That's what people are going through in today's society.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. That person could have had a church home. But I wonder if the people in the church knew that they were living in the car.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So we don't have time as his handiwork, as his hands and his feet, to be dealing with some of this other foolishness. I don't want to see another doggone post about Donald Trump from somebody who ain't for Donald Trump. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see another post about Hillary Clinton for somebody who's not for Hillary Clinton. Don't want to see it. I have no interest in it. I don't have any interest in getting in a conversation with anybody about it. Because at the end of the day, here's what I say, and I'm done. I told people, I said, you know, I hear a lot of conversation about the budget and how much money, how many trillions of dollars of debt we're in. Let me tell you something. Every president that I can recall has had a bunch of debt up under their name while they were president. I said, listen, let's talk about debt. When I go and buy a ticket, okay, for example, we're going to a concert tomorrow. I went in debt for this concert. Why did I go in debt? Because I used my credit card to put those tickets for this concert we're going to tomorrow on that credit card. So now I'm indebted to MasterCard for that amount of money that those tickets cost.
Yes.
When we go and we check into the hotel tomorrow, after the hotel room is over, when we come back on the next day, I'm going to be indebted to that hotel or to MasterCard because of that hotel stay, which came from me going to the concert, having to be somewhere overnight.
Right.
And watch this. That's not an issue. The issue is if I'm doing it and I don't have a way to take care of it, right? If it's going to put me over my limit, that's an issue, but it's not. But that will be an issue. If I know I don't have a way to pay that off at the end of the month, that will be an issue. I just did it so we can accumulate points. We're going to pay that off before we enroll. So here's the thing. Now, I hear a lot of people talking about the debt, how much debt we're in, and all this other stuff. And here's the question that I threw out there at the 4 o'clock show. Out of all the people talking about how much debt we're in as a country, how much debt are you in?
Yes.
We got 7,000-plus folk listening to us on Thursday. How much debt y'all in? Can we have a conversation about that? You want to have so much conversation about how much debt the country in. Can we break it down a little bit more? Because, again, this is about we got to have the conversation that we need to have, not just get wrapped up and allow the enemy to grab a hold to God's people to have a bunch of conversations that don't need to be had.
Yeah.
The state that you live in, all of our listeners, what is the debt that is owed or that your state is in? What's the debt? What's the financial state of your debt? Financial debt state of your state that you live in. Okay, let's break it down. That may be too much, too big. It's too big. What about your city? Where your city at financially? Okay, that may be a little bit too big for some folk or your county. So, okay. What about your church? Where your church sit at financially? Oh no, they handle that. We good. We just give. I just give. Okay. So in other words, you don't know. Okay. Where you at in your own household financially? See, let's start there. You can't start all the way out there. Sometimes you got to start at home. And if you're not willing to have some of those conversations about what's going on right here around us, I don't care. I don't care to get in conversations with folk about what's going on in D.C. I don't live in D.C. And D.C. don't control the world. It doesn't. If the church was in a better position financially, not the church as if one, but if certain churches in my community, I'll be honest because I know, if many churches in my community were better off financially and they had the right spirit, the community would be better off. Because nobody would have to say anything like I'm picking the door, coming down blasting. Nobody would have to say that. Because what we would be doing, we would be operating out of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. One of the things about Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, I said I was done, but I guess I can't. It said that those who had possessions and property, they sold that and they gave it to and brought it to the apostles' feet for everyone who had need. See, you can just give money all day long. My wife will tell you about that one. But maybe God is not saying, I just need you to throw money at stuff. Maybe he needs to see how you'll give by giving up something that is precious to you to be able to help somebody else. I was listening to one of our shows on financial healing from January 2015, and I was thinking about a friend of mine who, at one point in time, I had three cars. I lived just me by myself, three cars. And I had a friend that, car messed up or whatever the situation was, and asked, could he borrow my car for a little while? And I didn't even think about it until several years later. He reminded me that, man, you know, you really, I'm like, wow, he was in the wedding. I was like, wow, I didn't even remember that. But if I got three cars and you got folk that got to put so much money into a cab or bus fare and a cab, because where I live, there's not a lot of good public transportation. And I live in the country, so you need a car basically everywhere you go, or just take a change of clothes so that you can take a shower and hit the hot spots when you get there, because at 100-something degrees down in this camp, you will not be smelling the same way as it was when you left. But many of us are so fortunate with stuff. And we have to be willing to give up something. And again, whatever that means or looks like, because in this text, it didn't say who the people were who had need. If you read it, you're not going to know. It just said everyone who had need. That's the church being the church. So if the church is able to meet everybody's needs who had needs, that means that people are giving of themselves. And if they're giving of themselves, then can we go to what happened after people gave to themselves, along with a couple other things that happened in that text, 42 to 47, and each day the Lord added to them, to their fellowship, those who were being saved. See, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved, but the Lord is not what didn't add to their fellowship those who were being saved if the fellowship wasn't acting like a doggone fellowship.
That's good.
All I did was read it, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So you got to have something going on for people to want to be a part of it. Got to have something going on where people want to be a part of it. Mom, I'm done. It's 9:05, and we hit on a lot of things. I'm gonna probably put the clip on our Facebook page. I was hoping that we could talk a little bit about this thing with the banking and Wells Fargo. So maybe we'll talk about that next week. But I just want I've already posted that clip or a little bit of that on our Facebook page. So I just ask everybody just to go and let's just start having some conversation, because the conversations I would love to have regarding what's going on with Wells Fargo is for us as believers to think about where we're putting our money. You know, don't. There's some people, listen, and this is just a teaser, if you will. Where you put your money matters. So let's not trip if we're placing our money in places that God has not directed for us to place our money. And then they mess up. Now, if God tells me to put my money in a Christian credit union and they act unchrist-like, then we got a problem, because you should be operating by a whole different set of standards in addition to the same standards that everybody has to operate by with FDIC and everything else of those of our banking laws. So in addition to the same banking laws, whether it's a bank or whether it's a credit union, a Christian credit union, more especially, should be operating at a whole higher level and should be able to do more. So I'm going to try to see if I can get a couple of people from a couple of different Christian credit unions to really speak to us in the month of October, as we get ready to get geared up for some things that we probably need to be talking about as we start approaching the holiday season. See, here's another thing, Mama. Don't you know that every business that's trying to get your dollars have already started planning?
Yes.
Already started planning. Don't you know that I'm not even going to say any names because they're not paying us. They're not sponsoring us, so I'm not going to give them no credit on the air. But these companies that's out here, they're already planning.
Yes.
Got stuff, our products already being prepared. Some stuff is already sitting in warehouses ready to ship from overseas. And you're 30 days to get here. That's already in the works to get our money and attach it to a holiday that's supposed to be about the birth of Christ. So, yeah, we should be talking about these type of things, because they matter. I think I said it earlier, going into financial debt has nothing to do with Christmas.
Right.
Zero. All right, Mama. That's all I got. You got anything else, Mama? I'm done.
You know, I was just thinking about when Jesus fed the thousands of people, and the apostles was I'm just paraphrasing this, and the apostles were saying, just let the people go, and Jesus said, no, I'm going to feed them with the 5 loaves. He saw that it was important to feed the people. And apostles was just, you know, let's go, you know. And so it is very important that we feed the people. And it's not just spiritual. See, he did a miracle there to feed those people. And then they had baskets left over.
All right.
So those of us who have more than enough can share. And we'll still, like the woman with the widow, the oil, she never went without oil. It just kept God. It's a miracle. He just kept multiplying it, just because of her obedience. So what I'm sensing here is the same thing. Our obedience is not just wanting to see people be hungry, and it doesn't have to always be food. It can just be knowledge, and we have it. But because they don't look right, or they don't talk right, or they don't dress right, or they're not in our clique, we're not going to share. And we have to know there was people of everything. I mean, it was all those people from different backgrounds. It didn't matter. He said, we're going to feed them. Amen.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to also, I want everybody really to go to the Facebook page because I'm going to post something. One of our partners needs our help. One of our ministry partners is Gathering House. They need our help. And so I really want people to go to the Facebook page and let's come together as a community of believers, regardless of what state or city that you live in. If your church was in the situation of this church, then you would want somebody to come and help you out. You know, it's amazing the things that go on behind the scenes in church. Trust me, I know. And everything can't always come from only within your own four walls.
Yes.
So this may be one of those situations where it takes because, and I say this because there's, I was trying to find a post, but I'll get it on the Facebook page. But the work that's done at this place, at his Gathering House, has nothing to do with just this small little community and where the church actually sits. You got people that come 45 minutes away to get food and to get clothes. That's big. It don't matter where your church is, what church you're a member of, what color you are. Everybody's there getting help that needs help. No questions asked. And I'll bring this up. I know I said I was done, but you sparked something else, Mama. Thanksgiving is coming up. Thanksgiving is going to be a couple of weeks after the election. There is no way, and I'm not going to say it, what my wife think I'm going to say, but there is no way in this world that you are going to be so angry and then call yourself giving out turkeys to people who have need a couple weeks later. You might as well just keep all that crap to yourself because people are going to see that your heart ain't in the right place. Oh, your heart all of a sudden changed? But you're still angry. I still see what you're posting on Facebook. I still see it. And can I throw another thing out there?
Yes.
We already know that here's something that happens every year. Everybody wants to do their own thing. So many people want to do their own thing. I'm going to have my turkey giveaway. We're going to give away these baskets. Listen, don't you know that people could eat for a whole lot longer if we just came and consolidated some of our efforts in our community? It's just like the food banks. If we consolidate some of our efforts and we scattered it around where two churches are not doing a food bank on a Saturday and Sunday of the same weekend, because people can't be at two places at one time or on the same day. It's going to take somebody being humble. And you know what? Let's be smart about this. Folks still got to eat between Thanksgiving and Christmas. There's some ways that we just got to really just say, Lord, show me a better way of doing this. There's a more excellent way, the scripture says. Show me a more excellent way to serve the community in which you have me placed or I decided to go to. So that people just can't eat during Thanksgiving. Because, see, people forget about folk during Thanksgiving. Well, I take that back. They remember folk before Thanksgiving. Some remember them on Thanksgiving. But that Sunday and Monday is back to business, back to everything is normal. And the same folk that was hungry on Thanksgiving are the same folk that's still hungry on that Monday that may need some help. So I just pray that people just consider how we all are doing things. I'm not speaking, you know, PRF, whatever we decide to do. I'd rather help somebody in October because I know folks still hungry in October. Versus waiting for just Thanksgiving. Mama, I'm out. I'm done. It is 9:15. God bless y'all. We hope that you have enjoyed all of this conversation. I told you, I think I've said this probably about a month or so ago, that God has said, look, y'all have been teaching for almost 5 years now, and people have to do something more than just listen. So we're going to give you what God gives to us, and if you want the actual lessons of PRF, then we just encourage you to go to our website, prfministry.org, or reach out to us, area code 267-437-7999. We have people that are willing to help, if you're willing to take the help. But sometimes you just have to ask. So with that, Mama, good night. We love you. We will talk to y'all and see y'all next week here at the PRF table. God bless.